Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Spirituality, psychic development, love and relationships, manifesting prosperity, and more. You now have access to the world's most renowned spiritual teachers, healers, psychics, and mediums as you join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Steve Frampton, and you're listening to the Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. In just a moment, our guest, Dr. Rhea Kumaan, will be joining us, and we'll be speaking about many different subjects, including Atlantis. It's going to be a really great show. But before we get started, before I introduce Dr. Kumaan, let me introduce my co-host, Maureen. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm really looking forward to the show because Atlantis and I, well, I hold a special place in my heart for Atlantis.
Maureen, you will be blown away by Dr. Kumaan and the research she's done and the scientific explanations that she has for all of these mysteries. She's going to really help us understand the truth.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. Thanks, Steve. And yes, I work with everybody at PsychicAccess.com. I'm an intuitive, I call myself an intuitive psychic, a tarot empath. I'm a girl that just does, I have all those sea things going on. I crack myself up. I do vacuuming, I do cleaning. Anyway, I work with a caring heart.
We know you do, Maureen, and we're delighted to have you with us as always. And enjoy the interview with Dr. Kumaan.
I will.
Great. Well, Carmen, how are you today in cold Montreal?
Oh, actually, Toronto.
Toronto. Okay, well, Canada.
Yeah,
I should have played safe, right?
We're actually doing great tonight, but it's been a really rough couple of weeks. Eh? Most of us have been kind of stranded. We sort of know how the Antarcticans feel right now.
Yes, I hear you've had a tough time. Well, Carmen, tell us a little bit about your work.
Well, I'm an empath and a tarot reader and a burgeoning astrologer learning from you, but actually mainly a telepath. So I don't get people's thoughts. I get their emotional impressions. And then what I like to do is investigative tarot work with the tarot cards. And my name is Carmen. Yeah, Carmen Mira. I work at Psychic Access, and just like you, didn't you know?
I know. Well, it's good to have you with us, Carmen. Thank you for being with us again.
Thank you.
And Stephen, how are you?
I'm very fine this evening, my friend. I hope you are as well, and I'm excited to hear your guest.
Yes, this is a show you're going to really love.
I mean, this is really going to be a feast for the intellect. Always excited when we have a super high caliber intellectual who is acknowledged by the scientific community at large. Very excited.
It's going to be a good one, Stephen. Now, Stephen, tell our guests about your work.
Oh, thank you very much. I would like to let everybody know that I am a tarot reader and astrologer at PsychicAccess.com. Specialize mainly in tarot due to the limited time restraints we have on various calls. And I specialize in relationship issues, life paths, and personal improvement and growth.
Great. Well, always good to have you with us, Stephen.
Thank you.
Right. Well, before I introduce Dr. Kumaan, let me tell you a little bit about her. She is a long-term university professor and writer, and she often jokes that she spent her life really as a writer among scientists and a scientist among writers. And she does now write science fiction, which brings the two worlds together. She was born and educated in Europe, holds a PhD degree in science and a degree in medical biophysics from Europe. She has extended experience in teaching and popularizing science, which helps her present even complicated things in a manner that's easy to understand. She speaks more than 12 languages, and that's enabled her to read ancient sources in their original language and to read the web pages of ancient history about many nations. And her knowledge of ancient texts helped her to integrate ancient wisdom and to do so in a really scientific manner. And I really enjoy Dr. Kaman's work because she answers so many questions in a very, very credible and scientific manner. Well, Maria, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me, Steve.
Thank you, Maria. We're really excited. And I want to thank you particularly because I know you've got a cold and you've still made it for us. So we appreciate that.
Thank you.
Well, Maria, the first question I want to ask you is for you to explain to us where your work exploring the mysteries of our world began, or how it began.
This is difficult to answer because I have been a curious girl for all my life. And I had a lot of questions in my head that were not answered. And when I started writing the books, I had been planning when I retire from the university to write books. But it happened so that there was budget cuts and everybody who was part-time was laid off. So I desperately looked for a job for a while. And then I decided, okay, maybe it is time to sit down and write the books that I had been planning to write before my life. So I started writing, and this writing continued 25 years. And I have written 25 books. I cannot believe myself that I reached the number 25. If somebody would tell me, I will write 25 books, I will say, I doubt it. The number is too big. So I had a lot of questions in my head during my lifetime. And I just started getting the answers. And sometimes they will be funneled in my head in the middle of writing another book. So I'm very thankful for his gifts, and being a scientist, I spend a lot of time trying to find proof that other sources said the same. So, and in this way, the things that I have look really logical and get some weight.
Well, that's Maria. I know that you've come up with many, many answers yourself through your channeling, but you've done a huge amount of scientific research to validate them. I want to ask you if you could explain to us your understanding of the Ice Ages.
The Ice Ages?
Yes, the different Ice Ages and Noah's Flood.
Yeah. I will tell you that I read a book written by John and Catherine Imbrie about the Ice Ages. The Ice Ages solving the mystery. And I was so impressed by this book because he has periodicity of Ice Ages based on the research done on study of the glaciers, and I read ancient sources that speak about periodicity of ice ages, and they give precisely what is the periodicity. And I compare with our contemporary studies of the glaciers, and the difference was 0.3%, which means the ancients knew what they were talking about.
So they knew about these periodic ice ages, and they made the connection with Noah's Ark and the flood. Or you made that connection.
Yeah. I was able, based on study of the glaciers, to date Noah's flood. And this is the big flood that followed the big ice age. And in our study of the glaciers, the first deep meaning belongs to the big ice age. And the big ice age, when the huge polar caps, ice caps, started melting, this is when the Noah's flood took place.
So there is this validation between the ice ages and the time of Noah's flood.
Yes. And I was also able to date a local Black Sea flood that happened 2,562 years according to the periodicity of ice ages. One cycle after the big flood of Noah. This was local Black Sea flood, and this flood was dated by Ballard, who found the wreck ship Titanic, and he retrieved a piece of wood from the bottom of the sea, piece from a flooded house, and it was dated with carbon 14, as 7,000 years ago. And there is a misunderstanding that this was the Noah flood. This was not the Noah flood. This was the flood after the first mini ice age, when the ice of the first mini ice age started melting.
It's fascinating, Maria. And I wanted to ask if you could explain to us the connection, or the, explain to us through your research, the connection between Noah, and we know from what you've said that the flood did happen. We know it was associated with the periodicity of the ice ages. But what's the connection between Noah and Enoch?
Enoch was great-grandfather of Noah. And what might be extremely interesting, the name Noah means new. And I found ancient sources that say that when Noah was born, the father, his father, was very concerned that this might be not his child because it was different from the other children. And he was suspicious that his wife maybe had an affair or something. So, and she was swearing that this is not true. So he went to Enoch because Enoch knew almost everything. And asked him what this means. And Enoch said, give him the name Noah, which means new, because he will survive a big flood and he will start a new civilization, anew from the very beginning.
And so, Maria, is there a connection between Enoch and the land or civilization of Atlantis?
Enoch was the 10th patriarch. Noah was the 10th patriarch. Enoch was the 7th. But every one of the patriarchs lived more than 900 years. So, starting with Adam, you pass through Enoch, and the Bible said that Enoch didn't die, he was just taken to heaven. And if you read the book of Enoch, you will see that he was in a state of clinical death. And when he came back, he was telling to his children what he has experienced, and this was the basis of many, many books that he has written. The total number is 30 books. And Noah, when he was fleeing from the flood, he took 7 of the books of Enoch with himself.
And did he take those books from Atlantis then?
After his clinical death, he knew so many things that are going to happen. And one of them was Noah, and the other was about the Messiah called Jesus. It is in his predictions, revelations.
So Enoch predicted the great flood.
He knew about the Great Flood.
And was Enoch located in Atlantis?
No. This was after Atlantis sank. Noah fled from the sinking Atlantis. So everything that starts from Noah is after Atlantis.
Okay.
Okay.
Absolutely. Now, Maria, with regard to the books of Enoch, or the Book of Enoch, you say there were originally 30 books, and Noah managed to rescue and take with him 7 of those books.
Yes.
Do those books, did those books contain metaphysical knowledge and truths?
Okay. I will tell you that all 7 books were found in the caves of near Qumran.
Is that, that where the Dead Sea Scrolls were
recovered? They were found in 1947. And what is very interesting is that I read Encyclopedia Freemasonry, published in 1912, and it was written there about the 7 books of Enoch that Noah brought from before the flood. And as you can see, these 7 books were found in 1947, 45 years later. Isn't this amazing?
Absolutely. And they, am I right in saying or thinking that they contain metaphysical truth?
I don't know what to say metaphysics. We need to define the term metaphysics because I'm a physicist, okay? And many of the things that were called metaphysics, because our physics was not developed enough to explain them, they were mocked and thrown out of physics. However, our physics was developed further, and now we have nonlinear physics in which many of the things that were mocked with the name metaphysics and thrown out of physics now have their natural explanation in this new branch of physics, nonlinear physics.
And could you give us a couple of examples,
okay,
Maria?
Example are the energy vortices and antivortices of the sun, earth, and man. We have the same type of nonlinear electromagnetic field, which is organized in absolutely the same way. And it seems like God created everything in his image, because the sun has vortices and antivortices, and they have opposite polarity in the north hemisphere and the south hemisphere. And if you cut the sun's sphere into through the equator, you will have the vortices and antivortices of male and female human energy field. They are the same vortices. They alternate vortices, antivortices, vortices, antivortices. And in men and women, they are opposite at the same time of day and night. So, scientists know about the vortices and antivortices of the sun, and there is no any doubt about this. Nobody questions this, because we see them. They are big. However, when we speak about the human vortices and antivortices that are so many times weaker, we start to question them. Are they really existing? I have had equipment developed that allows me to measure them. So I have the proof that they exist. And each of these vortices and antivortices energy centers are related with a gland of internal secretion or endocrinal gland. And they really determine the hormonal balance, which determines our state of health in our psychological state. Because our behavior, patterns of behavior, depend on hormonal balance.
And I know in one of your books, and you've written so many, they're fascinating, in one of them you explain that the pyramids were built with an understanding of the Earth's vortices and anti-vortices.
Yep. The pyramids were built on top of magnetic anti-vortices, which emit energy. The vortices sex energy. They rotate in clockwise direction. The vortices that rotate in counterclockwise direction, they are called antivortices, and they emit energy. So the Earth is gradually cooling, and this is done through emitting not only heat but emitting energy, and this energy is emitted from the antivortices. With the pyramids that they built, we know this, that they built the pyramids on top of antivortices, because one of the physicists, Alvarez, went to Egypt with the intent to measure cosmic rays in the pyramids. And he couldn't measure anything, and he had to pack his equipment and come back. Because when he unpacked the equipment and plugged it in, the arrows of his instrument were so crazily moving left and right that it was impossible to measure anything. And this is because the pyramids are built on top of magnetic antivortices. And the pyramid itself, the vortices is like a funnel. It's like a tornado, and rotate counterclockwise. And when you have pyramid on the top of it, the pyramid collect the cosmic rays, the cosmic energy, spin it in clockwise direction, and in this way annihilate the antivortices. So the pyramids were built with the practical purpose to decrease the destructive energy of the antivortices on Earth.
So they were built to help prevent cataclysmic disasters, natural disasters.
We will have. They are built in the equatorial area. There are many pyramids. They are not only in Egypt. There are many pyramids in China. There are pyramids in Bosnia. There are pyramids in Italy. There are pyramids in Central America and the northern part of South America, including North America. And the purpose is to decrease the destructive energy coming from the earth. And if these pyramids were not built, we would have a lot more earthquakes and volcanoes active.
And
so
Maria,
whoever came to Earth, this very smart, he built this and made the earth habitable this way.
What about the Sphinx, Maria? What does the Sphinx symbolize? Why was that built?
What?
I was asking, what about the Sphinx? Why was the Sphinx built? Yes.
Yeah. Okay. The Sphinx was not a Sphinx. According to a metal plate, which is in the Museum of Cairo, the Sphinx used to be a lion. And there is a lot of erosion on the body of the Sphinx. And the head of the lion was destroyed by a lightning, according to this ancient stone plate. And then Khufu decided to put his head on the top of the lion. And he put a plate in front of the lion, which was now called Sphinx. And if you look at them, you will see that they are from different material, the plate and the head. And they don't have the erosion that the body of the Sphinx has. But if you think of it, the Sphinx is now in a desert. The fact that there is so much water erosion on the body means that this Sphinx has been there very, very long time when the climate was different. And the climate was different before each big ice age. The poles flip at 60 degrees angle, and this brings changes the climate dramatically and brings a lot of extinctions. So this should be built before the last big ice age. And when they look at the three pyramids in Giza, they look like the belt of Orion, the way it was 10,500 years ago. But considering the erosion, you need to assume that one cycle of precession before this, at least one cycle of precession before this, the pyramids and the Sphinx had been built, which makes 36,000 years. And Egyptian sources say that these pyramids and the Sphinx complex were there long before the pharaohs, very long before. And I have in the book numbers cited that shows that based on their ancient statements that probably they had been built at least 36,000 years ago.
And do you believe that there's a connection with the age of Leo?
The big ice age, when the poles flip at 60 degrees angle, the climate changes dramatically. That brings a lot of extinctions. Not only this, the earth is flattened at the poles. Imagine what will happen if the poles flip at 60 degrees. This happens only during Leo age. The Earth needs to be flattened at the new poles that are at 60 degrees and to the old one. This causes so much volcanic and seismic activity, so much ash is emitted in the air that the sun cannot reach the Earth's surface, and the Earth becomes frozen in 2 to 3 days, they say. They found mammoths in Siberia with still fresh subtropical vegetation in their stomach, which means they didn't have time to digest it. But this means that Siberia once was subtropical climate, and now it's a frozen land after the last flipping of the poles at 60 degrees 12,500 years ago.
And Maria, when, according to your research, will the poles flip again? Obviously, in the next time we have the age of Leo.
Yeah. Yes. The poles will flip at 60 degrees, and we will have big ice age in the next Leo age. And that's why I believe this sculpture of the lion was built as a warning. Mind the Leo age, it is the most destructive. This remains until today the largest sculpture on Earth. The next Leo age is going to be 15,000 years from now, so you don't need to worry about this.
It's not going to happen during the interview. Well, Marie, I want to ask you again about humanoids and humanoid species. So we know of folklore about a Bigfoot, for example, and there's a man in Texas who claims that he shot and killed a Bigfoot last year, and that he's going to put that on display or going to go on tour with the corpse. I think it's quite sad that he would have killed that. But I remember reading in one of your books that your research shows that there are, I think you said, a dozen humanoid species?
The total number of humanoid species was 16, according to an ancient source. And they have found so far 11. But I think they will continue finding more. There is more to come. And it is not true that they didn't coexist. Unfortunately, before the year 2000, all evidence that they coexisted was thrown away in the garbage can. After the year 2000, in the year 2001, we had an article in Science that they found in Gran Dolina in northern Spain, three adjacent caves, and in one lived Homo sapiens, in the other Homo erectus, in the third near the Dalles. And they found the proof that there had been communication between them, because they found the same instruments in different caves, which means that they have been exchanged. And this was the first breakthrough in the new millennium, that they coexisted, they didn't evolve one from another. And
it's extremely interesting, Maria. I wanted
yes,
to ask you,
and now, as you can see, with genetic studies, they are finding that we have near-dental genes. So it was not only the instrument that was exchange. There have been more than this.
It's fascinating. Maria, we're going to take a short commercial break, and then when we come back, I'll be asking you more questions and getting more insight from you.
Okay.
We'll be back in a moment.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
Welcome back, Maria, after the commercial break. Maria, in all of your research, and I know you've spent many, many years researching ancient texts and doing your scientific validation, but I want to ask you, what connections or correlations did you find between, for example, the Bible and I think we've lost Maria for a moment, actually. I think we've lost our connection. And Doug's going to get us back. Stephen, are you online there?
I most definitely am. And I was thinking of asking Maria about the ziggurat, which is another fancy pyramid. All of them? Okay. Okay.
Thank you.
Well, Maria, sorry we lost you there for a moment, but we're back. And my next question for you, Maria, is this one. In all of your research, can you tell us more about what you read in the Bible and your understanding of some of the things you've shared with us?
The Bible is an ancient source, and I will tell you, the human imagination is not rich enough to create so much factology. So this is our ancient history, take it or leave it. And there are books like the books of Zenon Kusitovsky, in which on one page it is Bible text, and on the next page it is archaeological finding and proof that what is written in the Bible existed.
And you found connections, Maria, between the Bible and other ancient texts. Can you give us some examples of the other ancient texts?
Other ancient texts, there are a lot of ancient texts. But one of the most fascinating texts for me as a scientist are the books of the Hindus. Their ancient astronomy called Surya Siddhanta, and this is the book that I mentioned, that what is written in that ancient source, when I compare it with study of the glaciers, the difference between the two is 0.3%, which is three times less than 1%, which means that these people knew who they were talking about.
It's incredible how, in actual fact, over the years...
It's incredible, and I will tell you that during the Ice Ages, the Ice Ages are called Dark Ages. The human brain, and it is not because only of the cold, it is because our brain activity depends too much. Our memory has magnetic origin. And we depend on the magnetic electromagnetic fields of the sun. And during ice ages, there is almost no solar activity, so the magnetic field of the sun is minimum. And that's why you have cultural minimum. During each ice age, it drops down the civilization to the point that they forget how to write. And then after the ice age, they start from 0 point.
So literally we lose intelligence and knowledge during these ice ages because we just don't have that same connection to the sun.
Yes.
I'm an astrologer.
And I have a lot of proof to support this, that during the ice ages in Babylon, where Babylon was the center of civilization, there were only a few writings about astronomy. And this is just unbelievable, considering that many hundreds were there when there was no ice age.
And so can you help us understand, Maria, where we are now? So in this at this time, it's the beginning of 2014, where are we on this spectrum of different ages?
Okay. According to study of the glaciers, we are moving to further warming, and this is part of the natural cycle. If we have contributed in some way to make this the rise of the temperature much steeper, we didn't create it. Okay. Whatever we have done is on the top of natural warming. And when this warming finally finishes, we will start moving to the next ice age, according to study of the glaciers. According to study of the glaciers, we are in a period of warming. But the warming, when it reaches a maximum, will be followed by the next ice age.
How about life on other planets, Maria? Do you believe that there is life on other planets out there?
Of course. It will be too narrow-minded to think that we are the only species in the universe. All the more that the Hubble telescope is discovering more and more planets orbiting stars. So I can tell you as a physicist and scientist that life can be expected on planets that have electromagnetic field. Because electromagnetic field will be catching the ions from the solar wind. That's what our Earth magnetic field is doing, and that's why we have the ionosphere. And this ionosphere is protecting cold for our Earth. Without this protecting cold, without the magnetic field that catches these ions and the ions protect us, without the magnetic field, the solar wind will blow all the atmosphere and the Earth will be that planet. And if you look at the planet Mars, it is an old, cold, and dead planet. There is no atmosphere. And it is absolute illusion to think of it that we can go to Mars, create atmosphere, and live there. You cannot. If you create atmosphere, the solar wind will blow it out. Blow it away.
I remember, Maria, that in one of your books, I think I'm right in saying that you felt that Mars, in fact, doesn't originate in our solar system.
What about the solar system?
I remember reading one of your books.
Yeah.
That there was one planet that you felt originated from elsewhere. In other words, it didn't naturally belong in our solar system. Was that Mars?
Yeah, it's Mars. Because it does not have liquid core. It is much, much older. According to the magnetic studies of Mario Acuna, who dated lava or melted rocks, when they solidify, they register the magnetic field. So they found in the southern half of Mars, in the southern hemisphere of Mars, two craters, huge craters from huge meteors, and they didn't find any magnetic properties in the rocks that were melted by the meteors, which means that these meteors hit Mars when Mars was a dead planet with no magnetic field. And according to calculations of Mario Acuna, this happened 4 million years ago, 4 billion years ago. And because our Earth is 4.32 billion years, this means that Mars didn't originally belong to our solar system. And there are ancient sources that say this, and one of them is Rishikanta of the Hindus, the ancient astronomy of the Hindus.
Maria, I was reading about the Anunnaki, these giants that apparently lived or live somehow on our planet. What can you tell us about the Anunnaki and aliens or other civilizations visiting our planet in the past?
Wow. In the Bible it is written, and in many other ancient sources it is written, that the planet was visited by sons of gods who made it with earthly women. And the offspring of this mating were the giants. So, in the Bible there is quite a bit of information about the giants. And they found, I have this in one of my books, they found on the territory of Israel, they excavated bones of a giant. So, of course, this was immediately pronounced hoax. But I truly believe that the giants were the offspring of these sons of gods that made it to ugly women.
So you do believe that the Anunnaki walked our planet?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they would not be, would you say they were one of the, I think you said 16
and
or 18
by the way,
species?
The Hindu ancient astronomy, Surya Siddhanta, says that this is the astronomy of the demigods who were our fathers. So this is another source that says what the Bible says.
That they were demigods.
They were called gods because they were very advanced in knowledge and technology. They were called demigods, almost gods. And they were worshipped as gods.
I know that
including whatever they brought to planet Earth, it was considered holy.
I know, Maria, that you when you wrote about Noah and the descendants of Noah scattering in all directions to Egypt, Mesopotamia, Middle Asia, etc., bringing advanced knowledge. You then looked at languages and the similarities or connections between the linguistic roots. Could you tell us a little about that and how that demonstrates
this demonstrates that we have common origin, you know, in many ancient languages: Aramaic, Hebrew, Sanskrit, Tocharian, Sumerian, Gaelic. You have the same word Cumann, which means spiritual man. My family name is Cumann, so I had to dig out what it means. It means spiritual man in all ancient languages. In Hebrew, when they worship God, they will kneel and get up. Kneeling was kiwi, get up was kum. And from here came kum, as somebody who is spiritually up. And two nations still speak Sanskrit. The Lithuanian language is Sanskrit. Like, and the Koreans have a lot of Sanskrit words. Both these nations have the name Kum, and the meaning is spiritual. And I was amazed to find out that these ancient languages, which we consider extinct, you know, they still have a representation here and there, and there are nations that are still speaking them. And I think that the Welsh language, Cymric, is the language of the Cimmerians, and this was when the local Black Sea flood scattered the people all over the planet Earth, and it was 7,000 years ago. So Cymric is 7,000 years old. This is the oldest language still spoken. And I spoke with Welsh people, and they said, unfortunately, the language will not exist much longer because the new generation does not speak Welsh, and the old generation is dying. Another representation of the Sumerian language is the Lithuanians. They speak Sanskrit, sorry, not Sumerian.
Well, Maria, so I have
we
to
can
ask
see
you.
The Sanskrit, that language, but Lithuanians are still speaking Sanskrit.
Yes, well, Maria, we only have a couple of minutes left, but I have to ask you this last question because this fascinates me. What is the connection between the Celts and the Native American Indians?
I have a whole book written about this. Celts in America before Columbus, the origin of the Native Americans. I found tribes that came from Asia. I found the same conglomerate of tribes in Asia, and I found the same conglomerate of tribes here in North America. And they, when they came through Bering Strait, they came during Ice Age. They could walk between the two continents. They settled around the Great Lakes, and they were Celtic tribes, the so-called Celts. They were called Tohari when they lived in Asia. When they started moving to Europe, they were called Kelti, which in Greek means strangers. And the Romans called them Galli, which in Latin means strangers. They lived in Middle Asia for 5,000 years, so nobody remembered who these people were. And they were the Celts, and the Celts were a mixture of many, many tribes. And the tribes that live around the American Indian, so-called American Indian tribes that live around the Great Lakes were Dakota, who were probably descendants of the Daki, which were Aryan tribe, and Iroquois probably came after the collapse of the Empire of Irnik at 600 AD. So they came to America 1,000 years before the settlers came. And that's why they were called Native Americans. There's no such thing like Native Americans. They all came at different times from different parts of planet Earth. And the Cherokee are the southern branch of the Iroquois. So the Cherokees are Celtic tribe too.
Well,
that's
Maria,
why you see a lot of the settlers that came 1,000 years after these Celtic tribes came, they intermarried because we have this feature. We are attracted to people that look like us. Can you see? The settlers were attracted to the Cherokees because they look kind of like them. Because they were genetically connected. If you go far enough, you will find this.
Maria, this has been fascinating, and I could ask you questions forever, but we've come to the end of our time, and I want to thank you for joining us and for sharing your many years, or just some of your knowledge from your many years of research and scientific validation. Thank you for joining us.
Think that I'm Romanian because I will get offended.
No, I know you're not from Romania. But you've got amazing knowledge, Maria, and I'm really grateful for you taking the time to join us, particularly when you're not feeling well.
Okay. Thank you very much for having me. I highly appreciate this.
Wonderful. Well, we appreciate you, and thank you so much. We'll definitely want you back to share more
thank
with
you.
Us someday.
Thank you.
Thank you, Maria.
Bye.
Bye. Well, it's a wonderful show, and Maria is incredibly knowledgeable, and, you know, in this time, this short interview, there's only a small amount we can cover. I recommend you look at her website. Her website, as I mentioned before, is mariakuman.com, and I'll just tell you that again, Maria Kuman, K-U-M-A-N, that's M for Mike in the middle, A, N for November.com. And you can learn more about Dr. Kuman and her research, and you can also see and offer her many books. I do recommend them. They're really books that you just can't put down, and they answer so many questions. So once again, thank you to Maria for joining us. I've got a lot of respect for her knowledge and her research and all her scientific validation. And remember that you can see Maria's profile at psychicaccesstalkradio.com, where you can see all of our guests' profiles and learn a little more about them. Now, before we move on, I'd like to make a few announcements. Stay tuned for the second half of the show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We'll announce the call-in number a little later on, so have your pen and paper ready. And if you were unable to catch our show last week about the astrological outlook for 2014, you'll find a recorded archive link at psychicaccesstalkradio.com, and you'll find all of our show archives there. There are many of them, really, really good material, great listening. Just click on the archives tab and everything is ready and available for you. And do feel free to circulate those archive links and future show details to your friends and family. We want to connect with as many people as possible, so go ahead and share those links. Remember that we have a fantastic website as well called psychicbloggers.com with a huge amount of information on the paranormal, metaphysics from reincarnation, psychic development, all manner of subjects. Just go there and check out the material. It's all free and absolutely wonderful, a great source of information and education for all of us. And if you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the internet, go to psychicaccess.com. You'll see that all of our readers are verified, accuracy tested, and each offer their unique gifts. You'll see a profile for each one of them so that you can learn about them and choose the authentic psychic that you feel can most meet your needs, whatever your inquiry is. It's a great honor to work with Doug and Psychic Access. We have extremely high expectations of ourselves and everyone that's part of the Psychic Access team. And remember that all of the co-hosts here at PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com are available at Psychic Access. So if you would like a personal reading from any one of us, just come along and visit us at PsychicAccess.com. We'd love to hear from you. And remember that if you haven't visited us before, you're entitled to a free 6-minute reading. If you have your own website, remember that you can earn 50 cents a minute on all traffic transferred through to Psychic Access from your website. It's a great way of making some money. So if you would like more information about that great offer, visit psychicaccess.com/webmasters. And remember, if you like our show, invite your friends, join us in the chat room. It's the Psychic Viewpoints. There's something for everybody, and we appreciate you being with us. Now, let me give you the telephone number for the readings. We're not taking them just yet, but I will give you the number so that you can call in a short while. And remember that you'll be on hold until you get through, and we take one question from each person. We only have a certain amount of time available for each caller, so give us one direct question when you get through. The number is 724-444-4851. That's 724-444-4851. So remember, you can call in a short while and we will take readings a little later in the show. But before we do, it's our co-host chit chat. And I want to start with Stephen. Talk to us, Stephen. What were you inspired by in this interview?
Wow. You know what? An easier question to answer would be, what was I not inspired by? Because she touched upon so many topics that I made a mental note to discuss during the chit chat session that, I mean, it's just really, where do I even begin? She impressed me with her comments about the linguistic origins of mankind and her comments about Sanskrit, you know, which is a seed language that really made my ears prick up. Her comments about the Sphinx were completely compelling to me. The Sphinx is an item of fascination for me. It's an item, it's a repository of occult information. Her comments regarding Atlantis, also quite compelling. And, you know, I find myself wondering how it is that so much knowledge could accumulate in one cranium, you know.
It's a big, powerful cranium, I think. yours is as well. Yours is as well. But Stephen, I want to ask you a specific question because
sure.
I know you're very knowledgeable on Christianity and the Bible.
I try.
We only touched on the Bible a little amount because of time, but
right.
Dr. Kumar mentioned other ancient texts and sees all these correlations and validations between those texts and her research. What stood out to you about, you know, particularly things like Noah and Enoch and the flood?
Well, I'll tell you what, she mentioned the findings at Qumran, the Dead Sea Scrolls. Now, these are much, much later than the books of Enoch, which, by the way, are instrumental in ceremonial magical practice, ritual magic practice. The books of Enoch are foundational in that regard. But she also mentioned the writings at Qumran, which really fascinate me a great deal. One thing people don't realize about the formation of the Christian church is that there were dozens of gospels. There were way more gospels than have appeared in our modern Bible. And so the original church fathers and mothers, but, you know, being a patriarchal system, it was largely fathers, you know, they had to make the decision, well, which of this stuff is going to stay and which is going to go? And a lot of the material at Qumran sort of dovetails and backs up and emphasizes a lot of these, you know, gospels that didn't quite make it into the New Testament. And of course, we're talking about ancient texts that are way, way more modern than the books of Enoch. You know, those books, you know, the books of Enoch, they're very difficult for the layman to understand and should be approached with an extreme amount of caution and respect. You know, this certainly isn't a set of fables or idle speculations about what happened or how humanity came about. You know, these are holy, sacred writings, absolutely as inspired as, you know, what has come down to us in the canon today, in the Hebrew scriptures and in the New Testament. So I would love if she could have just spoken on only the books of Enoch. That alone could have run to an interview of, you know, several hours, and nobody's interest would flag during it. Such is the excitement generated by the books of Enoch.
Yeah. Do you concur with my view, and you don't have to, but do you concur with my view that much of the ancient knowledge was suppressed by religious authorities?
Absolutely. It would be hard to disagree with you about that. So much evidence exists to support that claim. It was suppressed by religious authorities for a number of reasons. A lot of times those religious authorities, you know, we tend to think of the church fathers, for example, as being powerful already. But no. They were being fed to the lions by Nero. They were being boiled in oil. They were being torn apart for the entertainment of the Romans. And so, you know, these church fathers were insurgents. You know, they were rebellious figures. And a lot of the material that was suppressed was done so as not to irritate the Romans, so as not to make their tenuous position. This is literally a Christian Holocaust, although the numbers didn't approach the industrial homicide of Nazi Germany. Still, this was a Holocaust of the early Christians, and that's one reason why a lot of the material was suppressed. Going back even farther than that, a lot of the ancient writings were suppressed simply to protect the profane from getting their hands on the writings and changing them around. One really lovely and beautiful thing about Judaism is that the Torah, it takes about a year to create a Torah scroll. All of these scribes work diligently on it, and if even one letter is messed up, you know, this is a huge deal. So to prevent the contamination, corruption of information, the early hierophants and priests, they found it necessary to protect this from the illiterate. Now we live in an information age, and the ramifications of that are quite frightening to me, because this is the material contained in these ancient writings is not to be used for selfish purposes. Consequences of doing that will be profound. So at the same on the one hand, it's wonderful that the internet is making this material available. On the other hand, you know, you have to exercise caution. Jewish tradition says you don't approach the Kabbalah until you're 40. You know, so there's a precedent, there's a consensus that this is material that can hurt you. And if you don't have a certain amount of maturity and intellectual strength, then not only will you be hurt by it, but you'll probably wind up hurting others. It can be dangerous material.
It comes with a lot of responsibility, like giving readings. I always say people, don't underestimate how much responsibility you carry in giving readings. I think it's important that people remember that when they're getting into metaphysics. Well, thank you for your passion and your cranium as well, Stephen. I'm going to move to Maureen, because I know Maureen's very passionate about and very interested in Atlantis. So, Maureen, share with us what you can about the interview and your observations and of Atlantis.
Well, there was so much she was covering, and like Stephen said, what was there not to like about this interview? And there's so much, you know, if you brought her back, I feel that there's just so much she was talking about. But, you know, it was interesting. There's a lot of things that, again, it's almost like the sciences that we do with numerology, tarot, and astrology. Everything merges. It's odd. It's not odd. It is what it is. Everything kind of just flows into each other. And there was one thing, though. She was talking about the different languages. And as I can recall her, it was my understanding when I was listening to her about And this is why I identify with Atlantis more than anything. Someone brought this to my attention because I have a hard time speaking. This is my good excuse. I have a hard time articulating in a grammatic form that's appropriate, or I guess conforming to the appropriate way of doing so. Someone said, well, that's because you're from Atlantis. They didn't talk. They just had their own way of telepathy or whatever. But she was speaking of the different languages. Then didn't she mention something she had met? Steve asked, I mean, trying to get this clear. Did she bring that to a direct point with Atlantis, talking about the different?
Yeah, she was actually, I'm not sure we covered it in a lot of detail, Maureen, yeah. But in one of her books, Dr. Kumon explains that the demise of Atlantis, the natural disasters, the flooding, etc., it correlates with one of these very severe ice ages, and that there is a validation in effect of the flooding and disaster that would have caused the demise of the Atlantean civilization. So she does go into that, but I don't think we talked about it in a lot of detail.
No, she didn't. She was just, there was one other thing, because I was raised Catholic. I went to Catholic school. It wasn't just being raised a Catholic. But and it's fascinating because, you know, going to school, it wasn't until later as an adult I actually did read, well, it took me years to read the Bible, but I didn't know what was going on. You know, when you're younger, you just kind of have to. It was in those days. It was in Latin, the Old Testament, and it switched over. I'm really dating myself, but you know, talking about the giants, and like in the Bible speaks of the giants being that they were an offspring of a plot by the angels to inbred in mankind. And I always used to think about that. Now I feel that definitely there was something of interest about it. Has a lot to do with extraterrestrials, and we changed, our look changed, you know, it kind of to me. But when I was a kid reading about this, they talked about how it talked about the flood and how they said it wasn't a direct reflection of, but they were talking about how the flood was part of the same time period. But I also realized that they also have 30, in the Bible it talks about 30, I don't know if you knew this, 36 tribes of giants that's mentioned in the Bible. And there's also, the names I can't
remember.
Maureen,
I don't think I have any of their DNA. I was from the tribe of midgets or pygmies.
Okay. No, but it's interesting because I feel that, you know, it's almost like if you read in different you know, like there's certain ways of reading and interpreting the Bible or whatever. But they have found that it's not, I'm just saying they're giants. I feel that perhaps they might have been climate, maybe they, because they were prettier. I don't know, but there's also 22 individual giants mentioned by name in the Bible. I don't feel it literally would have to do with giant people. I think things got kind of misconstrued. I don't know. I just, there was something she was saying that really made sense to me, and I don't know if, I'm not saying I believe in anything or whatever it is, but it makes some sense because as a kid, but I don't feel it was so much, you know, they mentioned something about how they were 16 feet tall in some parts of the Bible, but I feel it was like, I don't know if the angels procreated with us. I don't know. But the bottom line is we changed. And I do feel, I've talked about this on some other topics or when we had other guests, there was a change of what we looked like. How'd that happen? Go figure. I don't know. So these so-called giants that are mentioned, 22 individual ones are mentioned by name. And like I said, I can't even pronounce some of these, but I would love for her to come back.
Oh, yes. She's so, so interesting. And check out her books, Maureen. They're fascinating.
I absolutely will. She was out. She was unbelievable. And it would have been nice. It was a great interview, but there was a lot of interesting information. She obviously is very educated and, you know, she's very, yeah, she knows what she's talking about. And, yeah, I will check out her books. Absolutely.
Good. Well, good, good. Thank you, Maureen. I want to bring Carmen in, because I know, Carmen, you've studied a lot, and you're very passionate about many of these subjects. What were your thoughts? Or what are your thoughts, I should say?
Oh, thank you. I haven't actually studied a lot. I've just read a lot, like a lot of us. But my interest, of course, goes right into the molecular sciences and ionization and magnetics. And tonight it's so apt, because tonight we have a solar flare. And I've been noticing, well, for one, I do think it's a very apt discussion on the extinction of certain civilizations or races, which seems to be fast approaching. But it would be probably about the fact that I think we need to remember that we have the technology to survive these mass extinctions, and certainly the will. And I find it kind of frustrating right now to see people squabbling about whether there is or there isn't global warming, when in fact clearly there's some kind of a calamity that's going to be we're going to be facing. And even if, according to the solar cycles, we do survive this fairly intact, and we will. There's 8 billion of us. Many billion of us will survive. The ramifications are going to be more about how well we do and how we leave others to survive this kind of calamity. Now, I mean, what she says is true. My perceptions have been as well, that if you look back through history, when you look at all of the solar cycles to some extent, there is all kinds of things that are happening. I think it's actually connected even further out, because we are in the solar, we are in the, you know, we're not an exoplanet even. There are even planets outside of what they have, which is kind of like the perimeter, which is the Oort cloud. And then you have this huge cascading river of non-magnetized kind of planets that kind of flow through the Milky Way, looking for streams to latch onto other solar systems like ours. And find it interesting to find that I didn't know Mars could have been a rogue planet. But on the other hand, we still haven't really analyzed, well, that necessarily, if it really doesn't have a core or not. And there's a lot emerging in astronomy right now that is going to change over the next few years. But one of the things that's true is that even if, you know, we have this grid that's not just connected, like it's a little overwhelming to think that the sun is controlling our weather, because it could be, because the sun creates water through ionization. It actually creates the molecular process to create water. Surely we can create some kind of ionosphere, probably very highly possible if we can get out of the fighting style and out of the politicization of climate change. That's what I think. And I think that we can survive this as probably a fairly amalgamated race, a multi-race, and we won't see the outer solar, you know, sphere for some time. But I do find that fascinating, and I've been following all the discoveries on that. So that's my thought.
Well, thank you, Carmen. Thank you. It's just so interesting. I just love all this stuff, and I could chat with you guys about all of your knowledge forever as well. We think we've got a lot to share, and we're having great material like the information presented by Dr. Kumar just really stimulates some great discussion. Well, we're going to move to that part of the show during which we take calls. Let me remind you all of the call-in number if you'd like to get a free reading. 724-444-4851. That's 724-444-4851. And our first call is for Maureen from Florida.
Thank you, Steve. Hello, Florida. Hello. Wait for it. Here. I know. Here it comes. Hello, Florida. Hello. Another sunny part of the world where I live, and the other side. I know. I hear it come. Well, Florida, I will wait here. Hello. I don't know. I don't hear. I don't feel that wait for it feeling.
Let's see if Doug gives us another call.
Okay.
Virginia, then, please.
Virginia, Maureen. It is. Thanks, Steve. Hello, Virginia.
Hello?
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, and what's your name?
My name is Lakevia.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I had a question regarding, I'm going through some things in my marriage, and I'm trying to see where is it going to go?
Okay. Because of the time restraint I have, you know, reading on the show, is that we don't have a lot of time, could you ask me maybe one direct particular concern
I have a direct question. That's perfect. Actually, the question I have is, we were going through some problems, and will my husband lose his job?
Okay, so you want to know, if is your husband going to move or relocate his job, the job.
Yeah, because of what we're going through, right.
Okay, so what I'm wondering is, you're going through some stuff, but you are together in the same, you are living together, correct?
No, we separate, huh?
I see what you're saying. Okay, I got you. Okay. I'm pretty sure I got it. Well, I do see that he's been trying to make it for months. It's been going on. He's not clear or sure. He can't see, but he's premeditating, like making a decision about what he does want to. He does want to make things better. If he was going to go towards another job, it would be towards another location. Would that bring your marriage back into proper perspective? Because I do feel that he's right now he's willing to take a big burden on his back, which is good, and it's about time. But I'm not saying that in a very snotty way. But what I'm feeling is, it means a lot to him. But you're looking like you're looking at him a little bit suspicious, like you're not sure if you can trust him. I see I see the family, and when I say that, the family, your marriage, I see honor, family honor. I do see it very. I do, unless there's somebody else that you've involved in, okay? But but I feel that should not be the case. But
bye.
Okay, I'm sure it's not, but I certainly see you two moving forward, and it is right now, it's like you're just a little bit leery. So I feel that you should really focus on what his actions are saying, more so than what his verbiage is. But I see within the next, and I could be off of my time frame, I'll tell you right now, but I do feel within the next couple months, there's going to be a lot of, you'll see, there's going to be a lot of positive movement forward, and he's making an effort, and I do see him taking on a lot on his back, and I see you two coming together in a lovely way. In fact, if you have an anniversary or something coming up, or if you've ever spoken about, people do a renewing their vows, almost like start having a new beginning, this is the kind of energy I'm seeing you moving towards with him. It's very positive. There's some other negative energy that may not like. People will always judge what's been going on in your marriage. So be it. That's fine. What really matters is what's going on as you see it and moving towards that direction. I'd encourage you to stay clear of being suspicious of what he's doing, because I do feel he's already making an effort to try to be there or have it more grounded and solid. Do you follow me?
Yes, ma'am, I do. Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling, and you have a lovely, lovely every day. Good night.
I will. You do the same. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Maureen. Great reading. Well, our next caller is from Florida for Stephen.
Thank you very much. Steve, who am I speaking with in Florida? Hello. Hello, Florida. Are you there? Hello.
Well, we can't hear Florida again. Okay. So let's move to Missouri, Stephen.
Sounds good to me, Steve. Hi, Missouri. Who am I speaking with in Missouri?
Hello. I'd like to know about my DOT test that I need to take. I want to know, I guess, how well or how bad do I do on it?
Okay. So let me understand here. You say you have an exam that you're taking?
Yeah.
Okay. And you want to know if you're going to pass it, how well or how poorly you're going to do on it. Okay. All right. Let's see how your performance is going to be on that exam. One second while I pick up on your situation, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Have you taken the exam already?
No. It actually got rescheduled because of the snowstorm.
Ah, okay, good. Yeah, I'm showing that exam is probably going to be difficult for you, as much as I don't want to say this, but, it could be that you might need to prepare more more for it. So if you can get some delays before taking this exam, I would certainly recommend that. You know, as it stands right now, I feel if you were to take that exam right this second, I'm pretty convinced that either you would fail it or you would squeak by the skin of your teeth, or, you know, maybe not get as high a score as you could. Do you see? That's the impression that I'm getting. And what I really want to impress upon you is that you should prepare more for this exam. You know, looking forward into the future, we have Trump 6 right now, which it details choosing between something, a decision that has to be made almost. And so it's almost as if it's saying that, you know, in order to get the highest score possible on this exam, you're really going to be forced, you know, to get rid of some aspects of maybe your social life or cut back on some things so that you can free up some time to really devote that time to study. I say that Trump number 9, the sage, indicates you're studying in the past. You know, it shows me that you have indeed studied for that test, but the reversed 8 of swords detailing the present time is a card that, you know, says it's not a good card. It's one of those cards that sort of leans closer to the flunk category. Do you know what I mean? Now, you see what I'm saying? So I really feel like, you know, it's great that you're not taking the test quite yet. You know, if you can delay it for a bit and study some more, you'll get a much better result. That's, you know, I'm not seeing you as really smoking this exam right off the bat. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Well, I wish you the best of luck, and I really appreciate you calling us tonight, okay?
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Stephen. Great reading. I love that your honesty, Stephen, in your readings, because, you know, we speak to so many people in our work, and we would like to tell everybody what they want to hear, but I really like the way you deliver news no matter what.
Oh, it's so hard to do. Nobody wants to tell someone that, you know, they can't really put on their everything's going to work out for the best hat. So it's difficult, but we do it.
We do it. We do it. Yes. Well, let's take another call. And this one is for you, Carmen, from Ohio.
Okay. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Wow, you came in so quickly. How are you tonight? What's your name?
Hello.
Hi, can you hear me? What is your name tonight?
Yeah, hi. Sherry. Sherry.
Hi, nice to meet you, Sherry. What can I do for you? I'm here, I hear you.
Yeah, I'm going to see if you see my son getting a car soon.
A car? Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's have a look here. I'm going to look at his purchases. One moment. How soon? Because at this stage, not the right one. He's looking for a specific deal. Is he relying on your vehicle?
Yes, right now. That's what he's using.
Yeah, no. Mom? Sherry? No. How can you get this going? Because I feel like he's not taking you seriously. So, yes, I would feel like you probably are going to look at this for, I don't want to give time frames because I feel like that necessarily isn't always the best way to go. I would say that your answer, though, is probably not for the time that you need.
Oh, Lord.
I know, hey? How old is he?
25.
Okay. Yeah, well, you know, one of the things it says here is that he wants to, but he wants the right type of vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's that kind of thing. Is he using it for work, Sherry?
Yes. Yes.
So basically what I see here is, you know, he feels he doesn't have enough money and he doesn't really even appreciate the vehicle you're giving him right now, just so you know his attitude about this.
No, I know that.
Yeah. So, in other words, it is your property, and he's just got this relationship with you. And, yeah, well, you know, kids. So, does he have a job right now? Is he working? Yeah, he is working. Sorry.
Yes,
but is it a full-time job?
Yes. Yes, he is.
Okay. Okay, well, you know, if there's any way he can help you pay off the lease or anything, why don't you, you know, but parents can't do that. I understand the what you're in for. I think that for to some extent, you're better off probably trying to either get a new vehicle or sell it to him at a reduced price.
Mm-hmm. Okay. See, I have a car, but it's not running. Somebody stole my battery. I have a car and a truck, but I don't know if I just need a battery or I need a battery and the alternator's out of my car. What happened to my car? I got an 86 Oldsmobile.
86, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, the battery's those are out. Probably somebody a little bit, some battery. Kind of fix.
I put a battery in, but I think the battery's dead.
Okay, well,
if I just need a battery or what's going on with the car?
It does actually seem to say that, but the fix, because of the components that connect to the battery, are not simple. So there's some wires that are corroded in the other part in the engine. I mean, in the electrics.
Yeah, my friend told me, though, that the batteries have got a dead cell in it, so I got to get a battery, then go from there and see what's going on, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm sure you've tried recharging it, right?
Mm-hmm. It won't charge.
You know what? I feel it's like some of the connecting wires. But, you know, I'm not an engineer. But, hey, that was an interesting call. And I would say, no, you know, it's going to be expensive for you to replace that. Maybe give him the Oldsmobile. He's not going to want that. I can see his point. He's like saying, no, I want to get something new. And he's just looking for that. But he was looking for a better vehicle for himself. And you know what? I mean, I understand
this
car culture that you're in. But yeah, he's not going to give it back, basically. Not for a while. So good luck. And he's a good kid, but I just know what that's like. I mean, I don't know. I don't have kids, but.
So where are you at?
I'm in Canada.
Oh, do you guys have this every week? A friend gave me this number and didn't say much about this.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, you can actually, we are a regular site. We are a psychic studio, so to say, and we have this show every week, and myself and my co-psychics have produced our own topics, and then we have free call-ins for people like yourself afterwards. And, you know, if you ever come across us, I'm Carmen. And then you have two Stephen. Well, we have Stephen, and we have Maureen. But we also have Maureen, and Maureen's a tarot reader. Steve and Stephen are tarot readers and astrologers. I'm a telepath. Yeah, you can call in any time, and you can come in for the six free-minute reading.
Night?
You can get other opinions from one of us for like a free reading if you like.
No, I said, is this every night or?
No, every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern.
Hey, I need to know something. Do you see my friend losing her permit? She lost her unemployment. She's afraid she's going to lose a permit. They said she didn't get a job or get some money.
Why don't you have your friend call us next week?
Saturday. I'm trying to get a job for where I work at.
Unfortunately, I can't get that into this particular call because we have a next caller coming up, I think.
Okay, I'm sorry.
But you know what? If it's for Saturday, I'd have to switch over to a totally different type of reading. It's possible she could get it, okay? Why don't you just keep it until a yes? I don't have enough time to answer that right now.
Yeah, okay,
but
thank
Sherry,
you, ma'am.
You
have a good one. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you. Thanks.
Thank you, Carmen. Well, I'm going to take a call now from Florida. Who's calling from Florida? Florida, are you there?
Hello?
Hi, what's your name?
Stephanie.
Hello, Stephanie. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good, Stephanie. What's your question for us?
Yes, what I would like to ask you is this. I've been dating Jermaine I've been knowing since November, and I spent Christmas and New Year with him, and I'm looking to see if this would be a long-term relationship or if pretty soon he's going to feel it as a commit. He's going to be more commit to me. I mean, we're talking every day, but I would like to know how this goes.
Let me see. I can see the excitement about him. I can see that in the cards, and I can see that he's a good solid guy, and I do feel that he has feelings for you for sure, Stephanie, and I feel that in honesty he's going to continue to express his feelings for you, So I see that continuing in the medium term. But I'm not. Let me see. You see, in the longer term, I don't feel that you would be together, Stephanie. I can see that he's very interested in you, but I see some complications between the two of you in the future, to be quite honest. Have you spoken with him about his interest in a long-term relationship?
That's what he told me when we met, that he's ready to settle down and he's looking for a good woman to get married. That's what he was telling me in November.
Okay. And he's saying that right now as well.
Well, we keep continue to talk. Of course, he didn't say that, we are 100% commit, but that's what I thought, we are, since we're talking every day, we texting every day, and we spend the holiday together. I mean, that has something
to do with him. Well, I feel, Stephanie, based on my intuition and what I'm seeing in the cards, I feel that he's genuinely expressing his interest and his intentions, and I see the two of you continuing as you are. I'm just not seeing it developing into a lifelong commitment. So I honestly feel that at this point in time, you need to relax and enjoy time together and continue to get to know each other and continue as you feel appropriate to discuss the longer term. And I don't mean to be negative or to put the dampeners on your excitement about this relationship, but I don't see it being a lifelong commitment. I don't see you choosing to be in this relationship for forevermore. I feel it's a relationship that continues maybe 6 months, maybe 12, but I don't see a lifelong connection. What I suggest is that you look at compatibility for the long term. So don't worry about it. Just enjoy now. That's what we should do. We should enjoy what we're experiencing now and not worry too much about the longer term. But I would suggest you get his date of birth and you get some kind of analysis of the what we call the synastry between the two of you, which is the astrological dynamics, because they really do explain how the relationship would be in the long term. And I feel that you need to look at that. So I would love to say, hey, Stephanie, I think he's the one and this is forevermore, but that's not what I'm seeing and that's not what I'm feeling. And I don't want to mislead you by telling you, yes, I think it's all going to be perfect forevermore. So I feel you've got to take it step by step, Stephanie. Continue to explore in your discussions with him the longer term. But as I said, I don't feel that this is the relationship that you're going to be in forever. Okay?
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Stephanie. Take care. Good luck.
Good luck.
Okay. Let's see. Who
is Maureen.
Next? Maureen. Thank you, Maureen.
I think I have Ohio, I believe. I'm sorry, Steve. Oh,
yes, Ohio.
Ohio. Hello, Ohio. Hi. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. And yourself?
I'm fine, thank you. And may I please have your name?
Nancy.
I heard I hope I heard that correctly, but if I didn't, what can I do for you tonight?
I was just calling. I've been in a relationship.
Okay, it's about a relationship. You're breaking up a bit. Are you still there? Hello? Can you hear me? I can't hear you. Shoot. Must be the tech gods.
The tech gods, yeah.
Messing with us, huh? Well.
Maybe we need to take another call. Let's see what Doug advises us.
Florida. Well, I should probably take that one, huh?
Yeah, go ahead with Florida, okay. Maureen.
I'll take it. Yeah. Hello, Florida. Hello, Florida.
Hello.
Oh, there's the Florida. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Fine. And may I have your name, please?
My name is Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. And what can I help you with?
Yeah, I wanted to know what you see coming up for my finances.
Okay. You sound familiar, Lisa. Okay, anything directly involving, are you working on something that would make you want to ask such a question, I guess what I'm asking, because of the time restraint I have in here.
Yeah, there's some things I'm expecting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's great to know. Okay, you know, this is what I'm getting. There's been some... I feel that you need to get more involved. If you're expecting something and you're leaving it up to some, I see another individual that might be the one that might be saying, well, this is happening or this is going to happen. My feeling is if you need to get more involved in the direct situation of have more knowledge of it happening. It looks like it's a very unconventional situation, and it's not a bad thing I'm saying by that, but it looks like you've put a lot of burden on your back on this one, a lot of responsibility, but somebody could be, I guess, delaying it, and you, because you don't have the correct information. I hope you follow what I'm saying. I don't know how to better yet put it, but it does feel like it's, I just feel like you really need to get right into the face or the situation of it, and if not, it may be more delayed. This is, should have been already at your... This should already have been, you should have already attained this, I guess is what I'm trying to say. I definitely see it to be quite a bit of, whatever that means for you, it's a big thing. But I feel it's been in delay, but I also feel it could be continuing unless you make a choice to get your nose more involved in it, making it happen, or closing the deal, or closing, being involved with the people that are the ones, not like relying on another individual to be the one.
Okay.
Do you follow me on this, what I mean by that?
Sort of.
That's a good enough answer. It's mm-hmm. a good amount. It looks like it's been a difficult time with this. But you're carrying, like I said, it does feel, it looks really good. I do feel that it will be, you know, this is the way I read. If every negative can be a positive, also it's about, you know, timing choices and all that. You know, I just feel that you've been putting so much on your back, and although, like I said, there's an unconventional, unorthodox feeling around this, and maybe it would be like, for instance, if there was something you're working with or a venture or a project with some other individual, but that individual says, well, we're going to have someone back us, or we're getting money from number four individual, whatever. So you're not really supposed to be talking to the one where the backing or money's coming from. My feeling is, because it's unconventional for you to go, well, I want to talk to the individual that says they're going to be paying.
Yeah.
Do you follow me? That's what's so unconventional. Maybe so, but so it doesn't matter. You, I feel, would do well to go to the direct source, because there's something really interesting about another person if you're involved in this. Not that they're so bad, but there's like something going on in their personal life that could delay it for you, I guess, is what I mean by that. They could delay it for you even more so. But it is you. I do see it coming, but, you know, I'd rather see it more or not. Sooner, I mean, later. Sooner. It's very good.
Do you know
good.
When?
Pardon me?
Do you know when?
Well, like I said, I leave that up to you. I would get my nose right into the business of who is coming from. And by doing that, I could see it coming within the next four. Let's put this way, in the next couple months, I could be off of my time. However, if you continue doing what you're doing and not getting to the facts of it instead of relying on someone else saying, well, it's going to be happening, and you're waiting, it could take longer. You could go into late spring. I just don't feel that you need to do that way. That's why I'm suggesting maybe you in this, and you have the right to get more involved where the money part is coming from or whom or the company or whatever. I don't know exactly what you're doing, but it would be to your best interest to find out for yourself. Not rely on someone else, a third in middle person, or someone has vested interests as well as you, but has more information. You're able to find out too. You're a businesswoman. So I suggest you do it sooner than later, and I see it would come in within the next, what did I say? I never like to guess what I said. Within the next month, couple months, or a month, yes. It's been in delay for too long anyway. That's how I see it.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes,
I hope I helped you.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Okay, bye.
Thank you, Maureen. Great reading. And the next caller is for Stephen from Ohio.
Thank you very much, Steve. Hello. Ohio. Who am I speaking
Hello?
With?
Hello.
Hi. What's your
Hello?
Name, madam?
Hi. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you very much for calling. How can I help you?
Yes, I was wondering, am I with the right person? Him and I are supposed to be married next year, and good. I just want to know if we're going to get married.
All right. Well, you know what? I'm not very confident that this marriage is going to take place, nor am I confident really that you're with the right person, unfortunately. You know, because what I see happening here is that either yourself or your partner, one of you two is going to start becoming all clutchy, is going to start clutching at the other one. This is shown by a preponderance of the sign of Scorpio in the evidence that I'm looking at. Scorpio is very intense, emotionally intense, possessive even, jealous. And this is really, I classify this as a huge impediment to the development of this relationship moving forward. And really what I see happening is more of a friendship than a real romance. And I suspect, and I'm speculating here, I freely admit that I'm speculating on this part, I suspect this might be part of the reason why, you know, the marriage might not be marching forward at the pace, or, you know, you might not be making the progress that you want on this. You know, I suspect probably that the gentleman is getting cold feet, and that you're picking up on this, and it's distressing you, and that's one of the reasons why you called us. You know, and again, the preponderance of the Scorpio energy here suggests to me that moving forward, not particularly right now, you know, but interestingly enough, what I'm picking up here is not so much the man. I'm getting a lot of indications about yourself. You know, first of all, the period of time right now that we're in, the card that emblemizes you, that shows you, is the reversed King of Cups. And again, this portrays you as being a Cancer, very concerned with domesticity. Now, you know, I'm not saying that you are astrologically a Cancer, but right now, as far as this relationship is concerned, you are like a Cancer, very domestic, you know, very oriented toward a domestic life. But moving forward, you're going to exhibit these scorpionic tendencies of, you know, trying to exert some authority over this gentleman. And I suspect that he's going to start pulling away from you then. Do you know what I'm saying? And I apologize for being negative about this, but you called me, you wanted to know about the prognosis of this relationship, if it's going to lead to the altar. And I'm obligated to tell you that more than likely, probably won't, in the way things are right now. Now, I want to impress upon you that the prognosis improves considerably moving forward when those impulses to be possessive strike, whether or not they're coming from you or from him. You know, you can say to yourself, well, I talked to Stephen, and Stephen said that this was going to happen. You know, so then it might be possible for you to modify your need to possess the man or exert authority over him. And likewise, it would be easier for you to forgive him for doing the same to you. So that would be the best way to sweeten this particular deal, okay? Now, what are your thoughts on this so far? I'm, you know, like I said, I'm sorry for you know, being negative.
Oh, no. I agree. I'm the one who doesn't want to be married right away.
Okay.
He is the one who is pushing. And yes, I feel like I'm the one who's like, dragging my feet.
Right. And you know what's going to happen moving forward?
I can't say that I'm possessive or anything like that. I mean, we do have a really good relationship that way.
Yes, ma'am.
But like you said, there's a lot of jealousy.
Yeah, and you know what? That's going to intensify, and it's going to morph into power struggles. Are you really going to wear that when we go out? Oh, my God. Or I saw the way you were looking at that waiter. You know, that sort of thing is going to start happening with more and more frequency. And then following that, what I see is a complete abandonment of emotion with a replacement of sort of like a platonic friendship. That's how I see this relationship, the trajectory. Okay, well, again, you know, I really do wish you all the best, you know, in 2014 and every year after that. I really appreciate you calling us up tonight and trusting me to consult with me on this issue. I really feel as if we made a strong connection and I helped you out, okay?
Yep. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. And I hope you'll come visit us at psychicaccess.com, okay?
I sure will. Bye-bye.
Yes, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Stephen. Great reading as well. Next caller is from Virginia for Carmen.
Hi there. Hello, caller from Virginia. Good evening.
Hello.
Hi. What's your name? Hi. I can hear you.
Stephanie.
What's your name and your question, please? That's Carmen speaking.
Yes. I would like to know the gentleman. It's the gentleman that I feel I'm supposed to be with, if our relationship is going to move forward.
Sure. And I just need his name, if you don't mind. Helps me connect.
His name is Tony.
Okay, one moment.
Okay, well, it's been very slow to start, but it says here there's some communication that will arise from this at a later date. You're looking at further communication, even though he may have a tendency to drop off from time to time. What he's trying to do and will be trying to do is to continue to move on from an older relationship where you have a, I believe that he had some difficult days and he left someone behind, his old self behind. And you know what? Your reading actually comes out quite nicely. You know, in my job, we get to become a little bit skeptic, perhaps, you know, a little cynical. But when readings come up this brightly, I have to comment that I think that you guys are going to remain very, very good friends and that you're looking at possibly a very positive and entertaining and intellectual exchange in your relationship. The only thing is from time to time, maybe you may have, this is your prediction, by the way, you may sometimes feel he's avoidant. Maybe there are some things that you're going to be getting through or going through to get used to this person in your relationship. But overall, it looks to me like instinctively you're quite correct that he is very well suited to you and that one of the things he's going to be doing is acquiring more money in order to maybe impress you. So he seems to be very interested in you. So I would say, you know, because I never know how long my readings are good for. There's never a coupon or an expiry, and to some extent I can tell timing on occasion, but I've never really been able to scientifically track that for myself with my clients. So when you say how long, I would not know, but it feels to me that what you need to take with this reading is that it's actually a very bright possibility and potential for your relationship with this man, and that he has a tendency to be a loner. So from time to time, he might be hard to understand. And you just try to take it one step at a time, okay? Because you should enjoy this particular reading. It's very nice. And this particular okay. person may actually work out for you. Yeah?
Okay. Yeah, that quite seems quite accurate. Thank you.
Well, that's wonderful. Be happy and enjoy. Thank you very much for calling. You can find me at our site.
All right. Happy New Year.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Carmen. It was lovely. Well, the next caller is from Ohio, and this is a call for me. Who's calling? Ohio?
Hello?
Can you hear us, Ohio?
Hello?
Hi, what's your name?
Samantha.
Hello, Samantha. How can we help?
I've been dating the same guy for about 8 months now, and I just want to know if it's going in the right direction.
What's his first name?
Jeffrey.
Jeffrey. Okay, let me see. Jeffrey. Let me have a look at this. I feel that it's going well. Again, as I said in a previous reading, I don't feel it's for the very long term. I can see the connection between the two of you. I can see that he's a good guy. He's a hard worker. You've got a good intellectual connection. I know that either he or you have had quite a lot of issues to work through in 2013. Nothing dreadful, but just things that you're having to deal with in life and move beyond. And I can see that strong connection, but I don't see this being your lifelong relationship. How long did you say you've been together?
8 months.
8 months. And do you feel this is for the very long term?
It's the longest term relationship I've ever had, so.
Okay. And does he feel, yes, this is it? Or you still just still feel getting to know each other?
I'm kind of the backwards one because, like you said, in 2013, I had a lot of things to work through, and it kind of scares me.
Yeah. Well, I don't feel it's time yet to say, okay, this is it. Let's be together for eternity. I feel that really you need to do the same as I advised the other caller, which is enjoy now, enjoy the relationship. Don't worry about things too much. Just enjoy. But I you know, if you're asking me honestly what I feel happens, I actually feel that you meet somebody else. I see another guy who is a very successful guy. He's very dynamic. He's got lots of get up and go, and he's, you know, he does well in his work or in his career. But I feel that he is somebody that will claim you. You will have no doubts about the situation. But I feel that's further out. It's not in the near future. It's not this year. So that's what I see. But I feel for now, you stop thinking about it and just enjoy this time, enjoy today, and trust life. Okay?
All right.
And again, you know, if you want to, you can look at compatibility for the longer term, and astrology is a great way to do that. So we can help you with that, or you can. There are also some free resources online. But I feel, as I said, enjoy now. Don't worry too much about the long term. Just live life and see what happens.
Okay.
And wish you lots of luck.
All right.
Okay, let me see. We've got another call from Ohio, actually, and this one is for you, Maureen.
Thank you, Steve. Hello, Ohio.
Hello, yes.
Hi, may I have your name, please? May I have your name?
Bobby.
Hi there, how are you?
If they can figure out what is wrong with my stomach.
Okay, I'm not a doctor, but and I really want to be very careful the way shed through this, or what's the word I'm looking for? Where angels fear to thread. So, have you been to a doctor to find out this information?
No, not yet. No.
You have not yet. Well, yeah. I suggest whatever I might feel or get from this may be, I suggest you definitely encourage you to go to a doctor. As far as I'm concerned, I didn't go to school for, what is it, 8 years to become one. But my feelings are that you do have a lot. You know, this is the thing. The way I'm seeing things are that, and we all are like this. Our mind and body are connected together, and all I know is what I know. I'm not saying everybody needs to believe in whatever I'm saying, but there is a feeling that you can pick up on certain energies, or you know, sometimes you don't know why, but I feel your stomach may be hurting. Not only what I may be saying, go to the doctor, because you've been going through some. People around you, I see a real flighty individual, gentleman around you, going in and out, a lot of energy. You seem very stabilized, but then again, I do feel, and spiritually speaking, or there's something going on in your inner self that is no longer in stagnation. I see you coming up almost like out of a death place, not dead literally, but and then in somewhat of an emotional isolation, it could be having some causes on your physical body. Now, again, I would really hope that you would go to, you know, seek help from a medical doctor.
I just got to wait to get in, yeah.
Okay, but, you know, also, you might want to ask them, you know, an ulcer is I'm not saying that's what you have, but an ulcer is something, and I'm only speaking from my personal experience, is something that is very interesting for a lot of sensitives. And I just feel you're going through a time that's a very spiritual inward time that can be very intense. So yes. I can see a part of you that's, you know, this is like another energy you're involved. Well, it's a learning. You're in a lesson time right now.
Do you see me going back to reading tarot cards again?
Oh, maybe this is what this is about. Exactly. Could very well be. This could be exactly getting back into the deeper meaning of things. Exactly. If you can identify, glad you brought that up, identify with that, that could very well be one of the things. And if you can recall back from a while ago, you know, it's fascinating. It looks like, you know, in the springtime, and I could be off of here, but it looks like the last spring, maybe you tried to go and get back in some deeper things like of that nature. For me, it would be that. And it didn't work out. It wasn't the timing. It didn't happen. Does that make sense? Had you?
Yeah.
Yes? So yeah. Here we are. You're going to this. You know, this will be an interesting time. But yeah, get to the doctor. But you could definitely be getting some stuff because you're feeling. That's what that impact. You know, you feel deeply, and just too. I can see your other side. You've done well. You're a successful woman. You don't need anybody, you know, taking care of you. You're doing well. But now is your time to go into that almost like isolating, lonely time. Into a deeper place, definitely could have a lot to do with getting back involved with the lessons of the tarot, definitely, and reading. It's a good journey, but go get checked out by the doctor, definitely. Okay, bless your heart. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you, Maureen. Another great reading. Thank you. Well, it was a great show. Really, really enjoyed our show. As always, and I want to take a moment just to thank Doug for all of the work he does behind the scenes and keeping us on track, making sure everything's running smoothly. Thank you to all of you for being a part of the show, as always, and thank you again to Dr. Kaman, Maria. I wanted to ask about the show next week. Who's hosting next week?
That would be me. And interestingly enough, the guest that I'll have next week, his name is Peter Woodbury. He comes from the Association for Research and Enlightenment. And this is an organization that deals with the psychic life and work of Edgar Cayce, who actually had a lot to say about the topics that we went over tonight. But of course, next week's show is going to be very different than this week's show. We're not really going to be talking about Atlantis, which Mr. Cayce went into in great detail, but we're going to actually be talking about some of his psychic readings, helping geologists find oil deposits, diagnosing and prescribing cures for illnesses, and he did it all in his sleep. Now, he is the most famous and documented psychic of the modern era, and probably of all time. His predictions are continuously being borne out. His pronouncements are continuously being backed up by science. He said many, many things that scientists scoffed at and later had to eat some humble pie. So we're going to be talking about Edgar Cayce next week and how he performed miraculous psychic feats all in his sleep.
Sounds brilliant, Stephen. Thank you for the introduction to that. I'm really looking forward to it. He's a favorite, obviously. Well, I'm going to hand over to you guys now in the following order to say goodbye. I want to wish everyone a wonderful weekend. Join us again next week, same time, 8 Eastern. And goodbyes, Maureen, Carmen, and Stephen.
And good night, bless your heart, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I mean, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, just had to say. Good night.
Good night, everybody. Be good.
Good night, everyone. Thanks for coming out this week. Have a great week, and come visit us at psychicaccess.com.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic Access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.